Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
It's been said many times in different ways, if you write something down, you're much more likely to follow through on it, to have success, to reach the end point that you're aiming for. You need to have a goal or at least some direction before you can know where you're going. And that applies whether we're talking about a summer road trip or a farm business plan. I'm Kelvin Heppner with Real Agriculture, and I'd like to welcome you to this episode in the Mind Your Farm Business podcast series brought to you by RBC. We are focusing on business planning. What does a good farm business plan look like? What should be in it? How do you stick to it when things go sideways or unexpected events happen? And in some cases, maybe underlining all of this, first of all, why is it important to have a business plan for your farm? We're pleased to have Dean Klippenstein of MNP back for this episode. Dean is a partner and business advisor for MNP's agriculture services, working out of Regina. And we've heard from him a couple of times in the Mind Your Farm Business series on earlier podcasts, and you can find those at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Today, though, we want to talk about business planning and get some answers to these questions about how to go about putting together a good plan for your business. So, Dean, when we're talking about business planning on farm, what does this all include, or what, maybe more specifically, what does a good business plan look like for a farm?
Well, a good business plan, Kelvin, really varies depending on the stage of business and where the business is in its life cycle. A young, aggressive husband and wife couple expanding their operation significantly, leveraging with a lot of debt, and the world is an oyster in front of them. Those might be very comprehensive. They'll have detailed cash flows. They'll have business goals and objectives 5 and 10 years out. And they'll have a significant amount of information and detail on all aspects of the business, because it's going to be the guide for those people investing their capital and time in the business with them. So it could range from that to, we could have clients and friends of mine who are in the later stage of their business career. Children are not taking over the farm, and the significant component of the business for them is that in their last 4 to 7 years of operational farm, they want to make darn sure they're maximizing profits. And although they've been doing it for a long time, it's always good to have it on a piece of paper and get clarity. Well, the financial institutions aren't having a significant concern because the capital is already well established in these operations. So it might be a simple couple-page document and a tool that they use to analyze their profitability and make sure they stay sharp and understand their costs. So you can have a full broad spectrum of business plans and the material in them. But the process is a valuable process to go through for all of those businesses.
So what are some of the key steps to that process then that would be the same whether you are a young and aggressive starting out family farm business or somebody closer to the end of their farming time frame?
Well, I guess the number one for me, and this is the bias based on my accounting background and agriculture background, is understanding our costs. Now, that doesn't mean you have to write down every cost that's in your operation and you pay every single bill and have an intimate, detailed knowledge of every transaction going through. But you need to understand at a minimum, at a high level, the cost it takes to run your operation, because inflation has a way of drifting away on us, and machinery has a tendency to get a little more expensive every time. And inflation is the enemy of a lot of these farm costs, and they tend to get enhanced a little bit every year. So keeping a good handle and understanding on those and making sure we control the things that we have under our our management ability. That's the number one. Regardless of where you are, you need to know and understand your profitability and what it takes to drive profit. Because the complacency is the other factor. I'll talk to the grain sector a little bit. We typically have a false sense of confidence that yield equals profitability. And in absolutely no uncertain terms, we need to maximize our yield to make sure there's profitability at the bottom line. But we find complacency is the enemy of profit. Because even in those well-established farms, the difference between 38 bushel canola and 42 bushel canola is substantial. And I use an example where 42 bushel canola is 80% more profitable than 38. So our producers that look at business farm profitability and understand it well with a business planning tool, whether it's ours or any of our good competitors in the industry, or an internal document, the people that understand that well make sure and drive their behavior to get those last 2, 3, 4 bushels or save those last $4, $6, $8 an acre because they have a significant impact to the bottom line of the business.
So how do you set up your approach to business planning then to minimize that complacency and the risk of things falling by the wayside like that?
Well, the important part of it is to understand the skill set of if I'm the operator, I need to understand the skill set that I bring to the table. And so if I'm a super hardwired for micro detail and really grinding through every single number on the financial statements and the record keeping books, and that's the level that I need, then we go down that path. If you're a producer who's more my line of thinking, where I want to make sure the details are all taken care of, but I want to understand the big picture, then we build the process to just give the information in a small and manageable, usable form. Because many businesses typically overweight the value of volume versus quality. Not to say they're not a quality document, but if you're a person like me, I do not want to see a 78-page business plan and have to grind through all the details in there. I want to see a 2-page summary of things that are important to my business so I can understand my profitability and drive and change decisions towards achieving my goals. Because the document is not the end of the process. The document, be it as comprehensive or as simple as you want, the document is really just to give the business operator the information to make good, sound decisions to the best of their ability to achieve their goals. That the business document is not the end of the process.
Speaking of those goals then, Dean, how do you go about including those in a business plan and coming up with those goals? And some of those are maybe more number-based and mathematical, and some are maybe more personal and family-oriented or things along those lines.
You know, it's funny. In my career, I always used to believe that everyone's goal was to always make more money. And as I got a little longer in the tooth, I realized that the key is having your goals clearly laid out, and they are never financial. They are never financial. So if you took I had a good friend, I still have good friends and clients who are young, entrepreneurial, took over the family farm, did an excellent job, had a great run of profitability. And one of the difficult decisions for them was, there is no right or wrong when measuring goals. And so I told them as two extreme examples. I said, if you wanted to retire by the time you're 42, that's an entirely achievable goal. And if you want to grow this to a 60,000 acre farm with a large number of significant employees and a excellent operational system, that's also a completely achievable goal. But you have to know and understand what you want out of life and out of the business. And so the goals are very difficult for not just us, for everyone, because you really have to look inside and say, what is my objective at the end of this process?
So this goes back to your original point, how a business plan for one farm or no two farms will look the same in many ways, right?
That's right. If we start with the end goal in mind, we can add a whole bunch of good, simple business mathematics around it and steps we should take to achieve those goals. But the key starting point for these documents is that, what do I want in 5 to 10 years? And then everything else is actually relatively straightforward along the path to achieving those goals. And knowing that where you target to be in 10 years, I guarantee will change. But at least if you're constantly aiming at a target, it keeps you focused and makes decisions that come in front of you far easier to process.
So how do you, Dean, in this process of setting direction for a business, how do you account for extremes that we see in farming? The drought in parts of Western Canada this year, or last year was the excess moisture, or we have market risk with BSE comes up and borders are closed and things like that. How do you make sure a plan, or is it even possible for a business plan to account for some of these unforeseen circumstances as they seem to happen fairly regularly in agriculture?
Well, that's an excellent point, and they are serious and significant impacts. And what we do is we always just focus on the things that we have ability to impact. So if we look at the range of business risk and insurances available, whether it be crop insurance, whether it be ag stability, whether it be global ag risk solutions, any of those, y'all always have to take those into account to say, okay, on short-term operational hiccups or disasters, depending on their severity, we obviously have to take those into account. But there may be other things we do to make sure those impacts of those events do not derail the process. So we may reduce the pace of expansion to make sure the balance sheet is well loaded up. So even though if everything goes well, we could expand it far more rapidly. And we may make the conscious decision to say, hey, stuff happens. The hog sector has some tremendous profitability, and they have some tremendous periods of loss. And in those cases, we may say, let's build up the balance sheet and slow our expansion to make sure that we can weather those storms. And so those are still things we have, the things we can still impact. They are not the core part of the business plan. They're just making sure we have contingency plans if some of those things happen on the way to our goal.
Do you find, though, that sometimes the business plan or what has been written on paper gets thrown out the window, or maybe farmers don't even bother writing it down because they are going through these sorts of situations and it's difficult to stick to a script for the operation?
It is difficult to stick to a script, but and I don't quote me on the stats, but percentage of people who achieve their goals if they're written down is significantly higher than the people who don't bother to write them down. And so what it does is that it always lets you gauge where you're going relative to where you intended to go. And so we see it anecdotally in our office. The people that go through the what I'll call pain and frustration and hassle of doing a business plan have a significant higher success rate in their business, because they, although it never looks like it did when they write it out on paper, they react and adjust and adapt to the new circumstances that are thrown at them. But they constantly have that as a bar and a guide to work towards. And it, we can't mathematically understand why, but it does let them have a higher probability of achieving their goals. And so one of the things I would really encourage people to do, now this is a little stereotypical, but and not the case in every circumstance, but if you're not good at business planning, or if you're not good, then simply engage one of your professionals to help you do it. Engage people who are good at writing business plans, or people who are good at running spreadsheets, and literally be the captain, and they'll just be weapons to help you accomplish it. Because if you don't like doing it, or you don't enjoy the process, the likelihood of it getting done with you entirely is very low. And I am that person. I'm a big picture thinker and guy, in my small world. And so the resources that our office and many other professional firms across Western Canada and all of Canada bring to the table is a varying group of skill sets. And I just utilize and capitalize those people who are good at that to help me accomplish my goals. And so no different for our farm clients.
So when you look at, a calendar year for a farm, what does this look like? Do you recommend a meeting every month going over what the objectives are in the business plan annually, every other year? How often should people revisit their plan?
It depends on the pace of change in that business and that business cycle. So if you're a greenhouse with steady, consistent production in southern Ontario, well, then your business cycle is going to be more constant and evolve quicker. In Western Canadian large acre grain production or livestock production, cow-calf production, then really you earn revenue substantially once a year. So even those two examples, you would have a different pace. And the other would depend on the pace of change your business is undergoing. If you're tripling the size of operation, dealing with multiple landlords, or marketing to seven, you went from marketing to four local farmers markets, and now you're dealing with 11 major grocery chains, then obviously the pace of change in those businesses is significant. You need to revisit it more and have more meetings, making sure you're not veering off the initial plan or getting off the rails. If you're in what I call a well-managed operational business with not significant changes, then maybe it's a once a year, once every 2 years process, just to get a checkup and make sure you're not getting off onto a direction you shouldn't be. But it would be very different than those first two examples I talked about.
And those would also be opportunities then to check how your business has progressed, to measure how things have changed and where you are headed?
Absolutely. And one of the victims of aggressively expanding or changing business is the business planning, because you take a young couple expanding their market garden business to now be a supplier to major wholesale grocery chains. Well, those people, probably a young family, lots going on in life, the business is changing, and they're in the day-to-day noise. It's very difficult to say, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to take a half day or a day every quarter and go and sit in an office somewhere, whether it's our own office at the farm or whether it's an office in one of the local professional advisory firms, and really just have a look, a checkup to where we are relative and where we're going. That's very difficult to do, and there's always an excuse to not do it, because time is a commodity that we're really short on in those businesses. So I really encourage people to have the discipline to force themselves to do that, get out of the day-to-day noise, get out of the weeds, and really focus on where your business is going.
All right. If you could sum all of this up, Dean, what are some of the main points that you would like to make sure that that farmers know, or some of the main points you try to get across when you do sit down with farmers at their kitchen table or in your office?
I guess the two simple things is know where you're going, because without that, no one can help you. If you're a 2,000-acre grain farm in Western Canada and you want to grow to 10, or you're a 2,000-acre grain farm in Western Canada that wants to retire in 5 years and travel the world, those are very different paths. No wrong or right in those paths. So, number one, you have to figure out where you're going, because all your team around you need to know and understand that to help them make decisions. And the two examples I talked about just there, those are not extreme examples. Those are both fully achievable goals. And if I don't know their goal is to retire in 5 years and travel the world, I'm going to bring up solutions that are very different. So know where you're going. And two, always, always, always know and understand your costs. Because without that, you're flying blind. So if I had to sum up the two important components, is know where you're going and know your costs.
Well, some great insight and things to think about. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us today, Dean.
Appreciate the visit.
So pretty clear that there's no one-size-fits-all fill-in-the-blank template for putting together a farm business plan, but there are some critical pieces that do need to be in there, as Dean summed up well at the end there. Know where you're going. That's something you have to talk about to figure it out, and then write that down so it's known. And then, as he said, always, always, always know your costs, because without that, you're essentially flying blind, I think were Dean's words. That's at least two takeaways. There was a whole lot more in there too that you can hopefully apply to your farm business operation and the planning process. Thank you to Dean Klippenstein of MNP for joining us for this episode in the Mind Your Farm Business podcast series, again brought to you by RBC. This is episode 29 in the series. You can listen to this one, episodes 1 through 28 as well, at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. I'm Kelvin Heppner. Thanks for listening.